All right, so I have a title, I guess, for my message today. The title is The Gentle Silence. The Gentle Silence. So have you ever experienced the urge to quit? Have you ever said, you know what, I'm done? For something that you've been working on or working towards, and it just seems like nothing helps to get you closer, and the frustration starts to build and build more and more until finally you come to the conclusion, you know what, I'm done. It could be anything in your life right now or in the past that you might remember. It could be a relationship that you're in. For years and years you've tried to make it work, but nothing seems to get better. And you finally come to the conclusion, that's it. I'm done. Or the opposite, it could be that significant other that you've been searching for. You have dreams and desires to find that special someone in your life. And everything that you try to do, you feel like you get further and further away from that. Until finally you come to convincing yourself, man, maybe I'll never be with a person. I'm done. It could be money problems. Have you ever tried to save money and the moment you have a little nest egg, your house explodes? Or you save a little nest egg and your car is in a parking lot full of other cars and a random tree falls just on your car. Seems like every time you attempt to control your finances, the further and further you get away from the goal. Have you experienced that feeling? Till finally you reach the point where you know what, this is stupid. It can be something that you believe that God is calling you to do. The evidence that you have before you is that God is calling you to do something and you don't want to do it. Have you ever experienced that? You know that God is pushing you, all the signs are leading to it, but you don't want it. You don't want it or you doubt it. Just to reference a character on the subject that we can all kind of relate to is in the Bible, Sarah. Remember, God told Sarah that she was going to have a child, and she did what? She laughed. She doubted. She didn't believe God when God said that you're going to have a child. And she said, there's no way. Both my husband and I are too old. We're way past that to have kids. It's a task that you may believe that you're not fit for. So you tell God, God, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can do this anymore. I know you're trying to tell me something, and I know you're pushing me, but I don't think I can do it. And with all that effort, all that thought, that grief, that struggle, there's no answer. What's even worse is that the more likely the entire time you're going through this struggle, you've probably been praying to God about it too. You've been asking God to help you, to intervene, to guide you, to give you a sign. But God seems to be silent. Which transitions me to a main point of this message is when God is silent. When God is silent. So have you ever sent an email or a text message to someone asking them for advice or asking them simply just a question on a specific thing that you need to help with and they never answer? I've done that before. I still do that. I do that all the time. How does that make you feel? Kind of makes you mad or question. A bunch of questions comes up. Why didn't they answer? Why can't they answer me? How rude of them, right? Kind of common courtesy to answer someone when they ask you a question. Or how about when someone calls you on the phone and you just happen to miss their call when the phone's right in your hand and you go to call them back and when you call them back, they don't answer. Not 5 seconds went by when friend, you called me, I missed your call, I called you back. Not 5 seconds went by. Where did you go? The only thing I can think of when that happens is the person, when I didn't answer, they literally took their phone and they threw it out the window. That's why they didn't answer. It feels like this when God calls you to do something, to send you into a situation to handle, and when you go to answer him or you call him back, he doesn't answer. It feels like this when you're calling to God and you know he's there, you know he sees the incoming call, but he doesn't answer. Think about how this would make you feel if you needed help from someone that's close to you, someone that you love, some, you know, family member. You need help from them and you couldn't get a hold of them. You never get a hold of them. There's someone that you always reach out to and they never answer your messages. And all along, you find out that they've been seeing your messages. They've been seeing your missed calls, your missed text messages, but they haven't been answering them. How would that make you feel? How would that affect your relationship with that person? Some of us might get discouraged and hurt from the silence. But how do you overcome this silence? If there's no answer, what do you do? Luckily, we're not alone in this experience. Believe it or not, there have been many people who lived before us and experienced the silence from God. So, just for example, if you want to turn with me to Psalms, the book of Psalms 77. And we're just going to read verse 2 and 3 and then skip down to 7 and 9. So Psalm 77, verse 2 says, "In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remember the Lord and I was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed." And then skipping down to 7. "Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has his anger shut up his tender mercies?" These are similar thoughts and feelings that we have when we feel like God is being silent. See, the psalmist here is clearly struggling with some kind of major anxiety and cries out to God with no answer. When he says, "When I was troubled in my day and I sought the Lord without ceasing," that's not, "I was troubled on Monday and I spent the whole day reaching out to the Lord and then he answered me on Tuesday." "When I sought the Lord in my day" means this is a period of time. This anxiety has been going on for a while. How many of us have reached out to God in extreme desperation? How many of us had a sleepless nights, if you will, where we toil over an answer from God and you receive nothing? Just as the psalmist here states, "I remember the Lord." Remember, meaning you remember where he has helped you and answered your prayers in the past. So where is God now? See, if you're not struggling with trying to understand why God goes silent, then we're forgetting and understanding the basic concepts of faith. That faith is the belief of things hoped for and not seen. Hebrews 11, 1 and 3. We read that scripture, we see that scripture, and that's not really the answer. As if you can suddenly read that and hear that and you're like, "Oh, that's right, I forgot about the faith part. I'll just use some faith and then my problem will be solved. Okay, I believe in you, God. Problem solved." No, but when you get to the point where you discover God is silent, Maybe he's not being silent. Maybe he's actually waiting. Because sometimes, maybe not all the time, but sometimes God is waiting to do something in you before he does something for you. 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slow in his promise, for some count slowness. He is patient and he doesn't want any to perish." He is waiting for you so he can do something in you before he does something for you. So now that you discover, possibly, that God is waiting on you, that just sets the tone for a whole new level of frustrating challenges. First, it was silence. Now I've convinced myself maybe that he's waiting. First, I was silent of my unsolved problems that I was facing. But now you begin to rationalize and wonder if the God that you read about on paper actually exists. Then you try and find support, and you turn to Scripture, and you try to understand why it seems like God is not there. If only if I could find the key, the secret word, that one special prayer to get God's help, if only if I could do that. Then you find the frustrating answer. Turn with me to Isaiah 64. And verse 4, Isaiah 64, verse 4, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God beside you who acts for the one who waits for him." Man, why do you have to go and put that in there? We're struggling with the challenge of God's silence. I don't want to hear that the answer is I have to wait. Turn with me to the book of Psalms again. Psalm 27. I'm going to read just verse 14, the last verse of that chapter. Here it is. You ready? "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." That was four things, by the way. You know what really, really helps me out when I'm struggling with trying to understand why it feels like God's not there? Turning to a scripture for answers and comfort and come to find the answer is wait. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that the answer is to wait. I want the psalmist here to agree with me. I want the psalmist to say, yes, God's mean to me too. I remember that guy. He ignored me and didn't answer my prayers either. I want to hear him say that. So here's what you do, bro. Go get a bottle of wine and go under your desk. And when you wake up, your problems will be gone. That's what I want to hear him say. Because I can do that. The store's right around the corner. But to wait on God to help me with my struggle, I don't know about that. I don't know if I can do that. Where do you buy some weight at? Is that at the store too? Next to the wine? When it seems like God is silent to you, this is how you could feel. You don't want to turn to a scripture and find that the answer is just as hard as the problem that you're facing. You want to find an easier answer that you can see yourself doing. But remember, what you see is not how you use faith. And that's what happens with our relationship with God sometimes. When we're going through troubles that we need help with, we want to see some results, right? We want to see God's glory and miracles and displays of power. That's what we want to see. To maybe prove to others that he exists, or mainly maybe to prove to ourselves that the God on paper that we read about, that we believe in, really exists. We want to see those results. I know a lot of times this is my relationship with God. When I have a problem, when I have a struggle or something like this, this is how kind of how I handle it. "Excuse me, sir God, I have a problem and it's uncomfortable. Can you please clean this up, buff it out, and make it better, and then have it on my desk by Monday?" But the scripture here also says, be of good courage. During your wait that you've been doing, now you have to maintain your courage. But what happens if your courage starts to run out? After a while of not seeing results, you're going to have your courage tested. It also says he will strengthen your heart. But God, when we go through these struggles, our heart doesn't feel stronger. In fact, whatever you're dealing with, your heart will actually feel weaker, not stronger. The test on your heart will feel like it's getting weaker while you're still waiting. But what's interesting about the scripture is it says that he will make your heart stronger, which indicates and predicts that your heart is going to get weaker first before your trial or your test is over. Your heart is going to get weaker before it gets stronger. So here's an analogy about that. So let's say that you want to get into shape, right? You want your muscles to get strong and tone and see some definition. So what does everyone do when they want that? They work out, right? They go to the gym and they train their body to get stronger. But when you work out, when you're actually working out and you strain your muscles and you break them down, they're not getting stronger in that moment. While you're working out, your muscles do not get stronger. They're breaking down, they're ripping, they're tearing, your nervous system's getting really, really upset. They're not getting stronger. Your muscles don't get stronger at the gym. Your muscles grow and get stronger when you rest. Specifically, when you're sleeping, your muscles grow and repair. That's the only time they do, period. But when you rest, because without rest, they constantly stay in a state of weakness. And then all these other symptoms show up. So I don't know what everyone else is going through right now, but we all have our challenges. We all have our struggles. When we feel like God is silent and we're waiting on him, but maybe sometimes the trial is a gift. Maybe the challenge that you have in your life right now is the gift that he wants you to grow from. Maybe the heartache that you have is the gift. Maybe you're not supposed to be with that person. Maybe you're supposed to figure out how to make it work with that person. Maybe the pain that you have is the gift, as twisted as that sounds. Maybe the pain that you're going through is for you to find and use the resources that you have all around you to get out of pain so that you can help others from your experience. Maybe the confusion that you have right now is the gift to get you to think differently. See, once you've discovered that God's silence has more to do with his work in you and not his work for you, then you discover why God is probably waiting on you. See, a lot of times when we're seeking God and we are in desperate need of counsel, we look for these exaggerated events to show us the way. We look for God to open up the heavens and part the Red Sea to save us from our challenges, no matter how tough they are. I'm going to refer to an event here in the life of Elijah. In the book of 1 Kings, Elijah the prophet comes to a situation. I'm not going to read the whole story. You can definitely go get it yourself, but I'm just going to pull out a couple points in it. The prophet comes to a situation where his life is threatened by a great ruler who has the power and the authority to make him disappear. And during this great distressing reality of having his life threatened, Elijah becomes very scared and depressed because he doesn't feel his safety from the Lord. And he ends up getting so depressed that he actually asks God to take his life. He doesn't say he's going to take his life, different mindset. He asks God to take his life. And so then Elijah is asked to go to this mountain and wait for the Lord, which that's the part we're going to read about in 1 Kings 19. We'll turn there. And we're going to start in verse 11. We'll just read 11 through the beginning of 13. 1 Kings 19, verse 11. Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind and the an earthquake happened, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire came, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was then when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in the mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. See, a lot of times when we're seeking and are in desperate need of counsel, we look for God in the exaggerated events to show us the way. Through the storm that might be blowing through our lives at this very moment, we look for dramatic power that solves the problem, that saves the day, and that gives us hope. Just as we read here, this awesome, great power and strong wind tore through the mountain, tore it to pieces, and then an earthquake happened, and then eventually a fire, displaying this incredible divine power. But by surprise, the answer was not in any of those events. God was not in any of those events for Elijah. God is reinforcing his word and how he reveals himself the way he wants to be revealed. Not the way that we want him to be revealed. As he says in Zechariah 4:6, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. God reinforces this by showing Elijah, by showing us, that he's not in the dramatic displays of power and miracles that we look for. Now, he can be. We know stories and we can reference that pretty quick. But instead, he reveals himself through a gentle, small, gentle, still voice. A still voice is so quiet, it's actually silent. Because if you think about it for a second, you can't hear sound that is still. Sound travels. He makes the silence become audible. But why does God speak so quietly that it's hard to hear him? Well, he probably whispers because we probably can't handle his voice anyways. I mean, look what it did to Charlton Heston at the burning bush and the Ten Commandments. It made him old really fast. So if any of you are worried about getting old, don't talk to God. He's going to make you get old really fast. Now, why does God speak so quietly that it's hard to hear him? Because a whisper can only be heard when you're still. When you stop and when you listen. A whisper is personal. A whisper is only loud enough so you can hear it. And when you feel like you're at the end of your rope, when you feel like you're about ready to quit and whatever trial that you're going through, a whisper is all you can handle. He whispers because that's his power. You cannot measure his power in any physical form or imagination that we have here. It's his power because you can only hear the divine voice if you become silent. Which is a very tough one to swallow. Just referencing Job, the book of Job 6:24, where it says, "Teach me and I will be silent. Make my understanding how I've gone astray." That's a hard one. Teach me and I'll be silent. What if I have a question? I already failed that one. See, a whisper you can miss. A whisper can be something that no one else hears. So no one else except you will believe it. You can also doubt a whisper. If God manifests himself in great storms and earthquakes and fire, then everyone would stop in awe and they wouldn't doubt that he exists. But if it's just a whisper, only those who are silent will hear it and believe. The still small voice displays that a whisper is actually more powerful than dramatic displays of power. The whisper was the message. And what was in the message? A question. He says in verse 13, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" As if God didn't know why he was there. Have you ever been at the end of your rope and you're about to give up, and all of a sudden you get hit with this conscious question, "What am I doing?" You stop for a second. You've ever had that question in your head, that conscious, "What am I doing?" It wasn't even an answer. God gives this same style of divine intervention to Adam when he asks, "Where are you?" in the garden, as if he didn't know. "Who told you you were naked?" Instead of stating the obvious fact that God already knows, he presents it with a question. He did the same thing to Sarah when she laughed. He said, "Why do you laugh?" as if he actually needed the answer. God asked the question because he's not the one that needs to be informed. He's not the one that needs the answer. He asked the questions to get us to think differently. But in the end, for Elijah and possibly for you and I, the answer to our struggle is the question, "What are you doing here?" When you silence the world around you, which you can't really control, you can hear it. Sometimes God's waiting is because he wants to do something in you before he does something for you, or instead of doing something for you. I think the problem with our experience with waiting on God is that I know I try to rationalize it and what that means. To wait on God. I try to rationalize in our physical temporary state here and put a timer on God's patience. Just as it says in the verse, some count the slowness. If we're going to choose the godly way of life, the godly way of faith, know that you will wait. Isaiah 55. And we're going to read 8 and 9. Isaiah 55. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my way," or "my ways your ways. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." What if, while you're waiting on God, he's actually waiting on you? So why is God waiting on us? He's waiting on us because at any moment, at any time, could be our last. In closing, you know the popular scriptural quote, "God is with you." It's all over the Bible. It's all over the world. People use it in different ways. It is a popular quote used by many to ascribe confidence, to ascribe to comfort, to even an excuse for the way that people believe and act. But perspectively here, that mindset should be flipped and stated as, "Are you with God?" Only because God is the same. He never changes. He's not the one that needs to change. So although, yes, wherever you go, God is with you. But wherever you go and whatever you do, are you with God?